Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 29, Krishna and the Gopis meet for the Rasa Dance, text number 39. Vikshalaka vrita mukam tava kundala sri. Vikshalaka vrita mukam tava kundala sri. Gandastala dara sudam hasitava lokam. Gandastaladhara sudham hasitavalokam. Gandastaladhara sudham hasitavalokam. Tatta bhayam cha bhujadanda yugam vilokya. Tatta bhayam cha bhujadanda yugam vilokya. Tatta bhayam cha bhujadanda yugam vilokya. Vakshasi yoika ramanam cha bhavama dasyaha. Vakshasi yoika ramanam cha bhavama dasyaha. Vikshalaka vitamukam tava kundala sri. Gandhastaladhara sudam hasitavalokam. Datta bhayam cha bhujadanda yugam vilokya. Vakshasi yoika ramanam cha bhavamadasyaha. Vaikaramanam cha bhavamadasyaha. Viksha, seeing, alaka, by your hair, avrita, covered, mukam, face, tava, your, kundala, of your earrings, Sri, with the beauty, Gandastala, having the cheeks, Adhara, of your lips, Shudham, and the nectar, Hasita, smiling, Avalokam, with glances, Datta, bestowing, Abhayam, fearlessness, Cha, and Bhujadanda, of your mighty arms, Yugam, the pair, Vilokya, glancing upon, Vakshaha, your chest, Sri, of the goddess of fortune, Eka, the only, Ramanam, source of pleasure, Cha, and Bhavama, we must become Dasyaha, your maid servants. Seeing your face encircled by curling locks of hair, your cheeks beautified by earrings, your lips full of nectar and your smiling glance, and also seeing your two imposing arms which take away our fear, and your chest which is the only source of pleasure for the goddess of fortune, we must become your maidservants. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur envisions the Gopis' dealings with Krishna as follows. Krishna says, You want to become my servants? So do I have to buy you with some payment, or are you giving yourselves freely? The goldfish replies, since the beginning of our youthful womanhood, you have been purchasing us with a payment millions and millions of times more than enough. That payment is your gem-like smiling glance, which constitutes a great treasure we have never heard about or seen anywhere else. When you put your golden turban on your head, your maidservant will act as your valet, pulling up the turban bit by bit until it is in just the right position. And even while you shake a chastising finger at her, trying hard to prohibit her, she will put her hand beneath your turban and take the opportunity to glance at your face. Thus we, your maidservants, will relish with our eyes your abundant sweetness. Krishna says, your husbands will not tolerate this behaviour of yours, of ours. They will complain bitterly to King Kamsa, thus producing a fearful situation for me and for you as well. The gopis say, but Krishna, your two mighty arms make us fearless, just as they did when you held up Govardhan Hill to protect us from the pride of Mahendra. Those arms will certainly kill that beast, Kamsa. But being a religious person, I cannot make others' wives my maidservants. Oh dear crest jewel of religious personalities, you may say that you refuse to make the cowherd's wives your maidservants, but by force you have already taken Lakshmi, the wife of Narayan, from Vaikuntha, and are carrying her around on your chest. Out of shame she has assumed the form of a golden lion on your chest, and she takes her only pleasure there. Besides, within all the 14 worlds, and even above these worlds, in Vaikuntha Loka, beyond this universe, you never reject any beautiful woman, no matter who she is or whom she belongs to. We know this quite well. Text 40. Kastri angate kalapada yata venugita samohitarya charitanna chaletri lokyam tri lokya sobhagamidam cha niriksya rupam yadgo dvijatru mamriga pulakani abhibran. Dear Krishna, what woman in all the three worlds wouldn't deviate from religious behaviour when bewildered by the sweet drawn-out melody of your flute? Your beauty makes all three worlds auspicious. Indeed, even the cows, birds, trees and deer manifest the ecstatic symptom of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form. Vyaktam bhavanta javayarti haro bijato devo yatadi purushasura loka gupta tanno nidhehi karapanka jamarta bandho tapta staneshu chasirasu chakinkarinam. Clearly you have taken birth in this world to relieve the fear and distress of the people of Braj. Just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Primeval Lord, protects the domain of the demigods. Therefore, O friend of the distressed, kindly place your lotus hand on your maidservants' heads and burning breasts. Sri Shukuru Vacha Iti Viklavitam Tasam Shudva Yogeshvareshvaraha Prahasyasadayam Gopir Atmaramo Pyarar Atmaramo Pyarir Ramat. Sukadeva Goswami said, smiling upon hearing these despondent words from the gopis, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Master of all masters of mystic yoga, mercifully enjoyed with them, although he is self-satisfied.
Tabhi samita bhirudara chastita priyekshanot phula mukhi bhira chuttaha Udara hasa dvija kunda di dhatu Dhyaro chatainanka ivo dubhir britaha.
Among the assembled gopis, the infallible Lord Krishna appeared just like the moon surrounded by stars. He whose activities are so magnanimous made their faces blossom with his affectionate glances and his broad smiles reveal the effulgence of his jasmine bud-like teeth. Purport, the word Achyuta here indicates that Lord Krishna did not fail to give pleasure to each and every gopi in the nocturnal assembly. Upagiyamana udgayan vanita sattayu tapaha malam vibrad vajayantim vyacharan mandayan vanam. As the gopis sang his praises, that leader of hundreds of women sang loudly in reply. He moved among them wearing his Vajayanti garland, beautifying the Vrindavan forest. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Lord Krishna sang many wonderful melodies and meters, and the gopis accompanied him, following his lead. Krishna's singing on this occasion is described in the Sri Vishnu Purana. Krishna sarach chandramasam ku mudim kumadakaram jago gopi janastvekam krishna nama puna punaha. Krishna sang the glories of the autumn moon, the moonshine and the lotus-filled river, while the gopis simply sang his name repeatedly. Nadyaha pulinam avishya gopibhir himavalukam jushtam tattaralinandi kumudamodavayuna bahu prasada parirambha karalo karu. This is a different meaning. Nivistanala bhananarma nakagrapatai kshvelyavaloka hasitai brajasundarinam uttambayam ratipatim ramayam chakara. Sri Krishna went with the gopis to the bank of the Jamuna, where the sand was cooling and the wind, enlivened by the river's waves, bore the fragrance of lotuses. There, Krishna threw his arms around the gopis and embraced them. He aroused Cupid in the beautiful young ladies of Braj by touching their hands, hair, thighs, belts and breasts, by playfully scratching them with his fingernails and also by joking with them, glancing at them and laughing with them. In this way, the Lord enjoyed his pastimes. Evam Bhagavata Krishna Labdhamana Mahatmanaha Atmanam menire strinam maninyo yadikam buvi. The gopis became proud of themselves for having received such special attention from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and each of them thought herself the best woman on earth. Purport. The gopis were proud because they had attained as their lover the greatest of all personalities. So in a sense, they were proud of Krishna. Also, the pride of the gopis was a pretense created by Krishna. Also, the pride of the gopis was a pretense created by Krishna's pastime potency in order to intensify their love for him through separation. In this connection, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti quotes Bharata Muni's Natya Shastra. Nabina Vipralambena Samboga Pushtim Ashnute. Direct contact is not fully appreciated until separation has been experienced. Tasam Tatso Bhagamadam Vikshamanam Chakishavaha Prasamaya Prasadaya Tatraivantaradhiyata. Lord Kesava, seeing the gopis too proud of their good fortune, wanted to relieve them of this pride. You're too proud. And show them further mercy. Thus he immediately disappeared. Boing. Purport. The word prasadaya is significant. Lord Krishna was not going to neglect the gopis. Rather, he would increase the power of their loving affairs by making another spectacular arrangement. After all, the gopis were basically proud of Krishna. He also made this arrangement, as we shall see, to show special favour to the beautiful young daughter of King Vrishabhanu. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 26th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Krishna and the Gopis Meet for the Rasa Dance. So tomorrow we start the Gopis' search for Krishna. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. There is a tug of war, if you like, or a tug of love going on between Krishna and the gopis. Because the gopis understand what Krishna really wants. That's why they're the best servants of Krishna, because they know what Krishna wants. Even though Krishna says he doesn't want it, they still know that he wants it. This is very intimate dealings between lover and beloved. So that contrary behavior is understood as being an indication of affection. Right? So when the lover says, no, 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 actually it means yes, yes, yes. This is teasing. Very difficult to understand, actually, these pastimes. Actually, not Krishna's. They're not actually very difficult to understand. They're simple. The dealings between Krishna and the gopis are quite natural. I was going to say natural. But because it is the personality of Godhead, and because it is intimate dealings of a very what's the word, sensual nature, and of course because it is also witnessed in the material realm, it's hard for people. There's a number of reasons. Basically, people are in the spiritual conception is impersonal. Right, so it's hard for people to appreciate that God is a person and that he can have personal dealings and relationships with his, you know, God having a girlfriend is sort of like, well, that's pretty ordinary, everybody does that. So how can be God if he just likes to play with his girlfriends? Everybody likes to do that. You know, because he is playing with his girlfriends, then what makes him any different to anybody else? And so therefore people will tend to see it in a mundane light, in a mundane way. And again, this is somewhat impersonal because, you know, the impersonalist philosophy is that we're all one. We're all part of the same energy. And so therefore, extrapolating from that, we're all God, right? We're all God. Because there are a number of problems with this, because, you know, from the impersonal conception, then it is very difficult to appreciate the personal behavior of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, because ultimately if we're all impersonal, then it doesn't mean anything. The Prabhupada says, If the end result is impersonal, then what's the point of listening to Krishna speak the Bhagavad Gita? Because he ultimately is just a conditioned person like the rest of us. Right? If the Supreme is impersonal, but has now taken on a form which is temporary and illusory, then that means he's just another conditioned personality like the rest of us. So why should we listen to a conditioned person? Why listen to the Bhagavad Gita? Of course, we know that's not the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. The conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita is that Krishna is a person. The Supreme Person. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, the other problem with the impersonal is, oh, if we're all God, all one, then Krishna is engaging in these lila pastimes, so then why not we engage in the lila pastime? Right? So therefore, our sexual exploits are just as good as Krishna's. And so their spiritual activity also. Right? But the end result is very, very different. Krishna, Prabhupada makes this point, mentions this point in the Krishna book. He said, the relationship between Krishna and the gopis is not at all contaminated by any mundane sex impulse or any mundane sex desire. But rather, it is pure. And so, Prabhupada gives the example that the Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya, the previous acharyas place great emphasis and importance on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna for their purifying potency. Right? Whereas our mundane sexual exploits simply contaminate us with lust and greed and ultimately anger and all of the other things that come as corollaries to the to these things. By studying the relationship between Krishna and the gopis, one becomes purified. Because this is Krishna's Atmamaya, Atmamayaya. Right? When Krishna appears, he is accompanied by his potencies. Was it? Parasya Shakti Vibhidhaiva Sruyate Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. Right? That he has multifarious potencies, energies, expansions of himself. And the gopis are expansions of his internal or pleasure potency. So they are actually not of the material realm, purely of the spiritual realm. And the engagement between Krishna and the gopis is the emblem of spiritual perfection, if you like. It is not a mundane affair. So we have very nice descriptions to meditate on here. Krishna's smiling face with the curling locks of hair, very beautiful, so attractive. His cheeks ornamented by the earrings. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes how the earrings are decorated with pearls and diamonds, but they're shaped like sharks. And they rest on his cheeks. So I imagine that's been pretty long because they hang off his ears. But they must, if they're shaped like a shark, and they're hanging on his cheeks as well, he's got these... You don't see people wearing earrings like that, do you? Shark earrings. Kundala Shri, very beautiful earrings, shaped like a shark. And his cheeks, decorated with a smile, as mentioned, and the nectar of his smile. The gopis want to taste that nectar. In other words, they want to kiss him because they're so attracted. You know, just like a young boy is attracted to a young girl, so what does he want to do? He wants to kiss her. When a young girl is attracted to a young boy, then what does she want to do? She wants to kiss him. She wants to taste him. We think it's funny, but you know, it's not actually a very serious business. Tasting the nectar of Krishna's lips. So the gopis are despondent here, discouraged, but still they can't overcome their natural attraction to Krishna's beauty. And you know, they're saying, "You have been smiling and glancing at us, and we are so attracted to you. All we want to do is to be protected by you, be embraced by you. Your two imposing arms which take away our fear." That's what happens when the lovers embrace, then there's the perfection of their existence, right? And then they forget everything else. Because in the material world, that's just illusion. You still got to pay the rent, you still got to pay the gas and electricity. But in that embrace, they forget everything else. "Oh, my lover, my beloved. We are now together." And that's all there is in existence. Of course, as Krishna is going to demonstrate in the next chapter, he disappears to increase that, as I mentioned. One is not able to fully relish the, the coming together without there being some separation. So the gopis are not at all enthusiastic about Krishna's suggesting that they go back home to their husbands, right? So they're saying, "We are not going to be satisfied. You have been playing your flute, you've been smiling and glancing at us, and we're just attracted to you. How can we enjoy with our husbands and families? It's not possible for us. Our desire is to satisfy your desire." This is actually because they say here, "We know that your desire is actually to enjoy with us. That's what you want. And so therefore we're not going home." Even though Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna says, "Your husbands will not tolerate this behaviour of ours. King Kamsa will be, he'll go and tell, they'll tell King Kamsa, and then he'll create trouble for us." And the gopis say, "We don't care. We know that you can smash King Kamsa. You can smash anybody. Why should we fear anybody? When we're with you, then all of our fear is dissipated. Abhayam, right? Abhay." Prabhupada's Abhay Charanaravinda. "At the lotus feet of Krishna, there is no fear." So the gopis aren't fooled by Krishna's statements. "Don't come out into the forest, you're only going to get me in trouble." you're just trying to get me in trouble. And you'll get yourselves in trouble as well. So they say, "We don't care. We're already in trouble as it is. And by taking shelter of you, then all of those difficulties and all of those problems will be resolved in any case. So there is no problem." And then there's an interesting, they're saying, you know, every woman, who is there in the whole of the creation who's not going to be attracted to the sound of your flute? Actually, which living entity, whether it's male or female? You can't blame us. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions this point. You can't blame us for being attracted to you, because everybody's attracted to you. As soon as you play your flute, then everyone is attracted to you. And you can't criticise us for leaving our husband because you've stolen the goddess of fortune from Lord Narayan. You've already stolen the goddess of fortune from Lord Narayan, so why are you telling us to go home to our husbands? You've already done the worst deed. And she's so embarrassed that she's She's hiding as a golden line on your chest. Huh? She's so embarrassed that she's left her husband that now she's hiding there. So why are you blaming us? Everybody is attracted to you. And the sound of your and the playing of your flute. The trees in Vrindavan, the creepers and the vines. What to speak of the cows and the other animals, the deer and so forth. Everybody is attracted to the sound of your flute. So why shouldn't we be? And especially because we know that you want to enjoy with us in the forest. So Krishna then, as is explained here, Krishna then expands himself to be with every one of the gopis. Well, it's not stated specifically, but obviously if there's many, was it Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrama Sevya Manam? Krishna is surrounded by Sahasra Sata, hundreds of thousands of gopis. So in order to be with each one of them, he's expanding himself. And then it describes here how they're playing and enjoying in the forest of Vrindavan. And how we were discussing this the other day. Krishna is described here as, yesterday we were discussing this, Achyuta. Achyuta. Which means infallible. Infallible. And in this case, as is the meaning used in the Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Achyuta means one who never fails to please his devotees. Right? One who never fails to look after his devotees. So that when Arjuna asks Krishna, please take the chariot into the middle of the battlefield, so then Krishna immediately took him to see who was there to fight. So when the gopis manifest that desire to enjoy with Krishna, then Krishna didn't fail to satisfy each and every one of them. It's mentioned here. Krishna did not fail to give pleasure to each and every gopi in a nocturnal assembly. So they had been longing for years, actually, to be with Krishna and to enjoy with Krishna. And now Krishna is satisfying their desires and their singing. Here it's mentioned they're singing Upagiyamana Udgayan. Krishna is singing loudly himself about the glories of the forest Vanita Shata Yutapa Malam Bibradvajayantim with his garland. And he was singing, as mentioned here, what is it? He was singing of the glories of the autumn moon, the moonshine, and the lotus-filled river, while the gopis simply sang his name repeatedly. So the gopis are chanting his name, and he's praising the glories of the forest. So in that way, then, Krishna is playing in the forest, but what happens? The gopis become a little bit proud. So now Krishna is setting the scene for the next episode, if you like, where even though, as is mentioned here, the gopis are proud ultimately of Krishna because they're feeling themselves as to be the best, the most fortunate, the best personalities. Krishna didn't like that pride. Krishna doesn't like pride in his devotees. And so therefore he works in such a way so as to deflate one's pride. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Tasam tatso bhaga madam. They were the most fortunate. And madam here, in an intoxicated state. Right, this is what happens when lovers associate with each other. They become intoxicated with each other's association. And so they forget everything else that's going on around them. So in that intoxicated state, meditating on their good fortune, they became a little bit puffed up. And it happens to devotees. We recognise our good fortune and we appreciate the benefits of Krishna consciousness, and unfortunately then we become proud. So then Krishna, because Krishna is very kind to his devotees, then he acts in a way so as to relieve them of this burden. Because the devotees feel this as great pain. Krishna withdraws his presence, or Krishna withdraws his association. So then the devotees feel great pain. But, as it is mentioned here, nābi nā vipralambe nā sambhoga puṣṭi maśnute. Direct contact is not fully appreciated until separation has been experienced. So actually, Krishna withdrawing himself from the devotees' association is his mercy. So there's that word here, prasādāya. This is Krishna's prasad, or Krishna's mercy. Where is that? Next verse. Yeah. Prasamaya prasadaya. Observing the false pride, Keshava, Lord Krishna, prasamaya, in order to shrink the pride, and to show them favour, prasamaya prasadaya tatra eva antaradhiyata. He disappeared from that place, right there. So of course that then causes great anguish and anxiety in the hearts of the gopis. Great blessing. Krishna's blessing. He disappears. The devotees, for years they've been meditating, Krishna, we want to be with you. And then they get Krishna's association, and then all of a sudden, whoop, gone. And so then they're broken-hearted. But that's actually Krishna's mercy, because it simply intensifies the desire of the gopis to have Krishna's association again. So it's actually, it's not that Krishna ignores or deserts his devotees when he disappears or he appears to be not there. Right? Sometimes we think, oh Krishna, why are you so hard on us? Why are you so mean? You've withdrawn your association. But actually, by withdrawing, Krishna intensifies the longing of the devotee to be with Krishna. And in intensifying that longing, actually he's increasing their Krishna consciousness. In fact, he's increasing their association with him through vipralamba seva. Service in separation. You know, they say, there's that saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Right? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. So, you know, when we're always around each other, then we're always complaining, oh, that idiot, you know, that's stupid. But then take them away, and then after a while, oh, my friend, you know, when you see them again, oh, it's fantastic to see you, where have you been? It's been so long. Right? You forget all of the idiosyncrasies of the person and the silly things that they do. And then when you see them again, oh, boy, we've just been meditating on you. So actually that's Krishna's prasad. And it decreases the pride. Great mercy. And of course, as is mentioned here, this is setting the scene also to uh, enhance or to focus the spotlight on Radharani and her qualities as the greatest devotee. So it's setting the scene for the next pastime, the gopi search for Krishna. All right, does anyone have any comments or questions on any of these points?
The similar notion I come up against on Sankirtan, that we can't know what happiness is unless we experience misery.
Yeah. What's the experience on Sankirtan? What's the experience? Well, you said we can't. You experience that on Sankirtan.
No, this is what the philosophy I can people present. When we say that we're all looking for happiness.
Oh, okay.
They say we can't have happiness without.
Oh, that's what people say to us.
Yeah.
You can't appreciate happiness without the suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. We agree with that. And your understanding of happiness is just a drop, if that, of real happiness. That's what we would say. Your happiness is simply the relief of distress. What kind of happiness is that? We want ananda, unending bliss, which you drown in. You know, if you drink the bliss, the ananda of spiritual life, you'll fall on the ground, rolling around, you'll be stunned. Right? You ever feel that happy? The only way you're able to do that is go and buy, you know, a slab of Carlton Draft or something, you know. But the devotees, we don't have to take any intoxication, we just have to chant Hare Krishna and by that simple act of being connected with Krishna through the Sankirtan, then we can become so happy. So much ananda. That's why you see the devotees chanting and dancing and they've got their arms up in the air and they're just happy. So there's a difference between the happiness of a materialist who's just got relief from, you know, the kickings of material energy, and the happiness of a devotee, very different, right? When you're chanting Hare Krishna properly, then how happy do you feel? Indescribable, you can't describe it. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam purnam ritasvardhanam. It is the life of transcendental knowledge, right? The nectar for which we're always anxious. Vidya vadu jivanam. The life of transcendental knowledge is the nectar of Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So, it's true that you can't appreciate happiness without some distress, but we would suggest that your happiness is pretty low class and you'd much prefer to go for something better, wouldn't you? Here, take a book. Give a donation to Krishna, then you'll feel happy. We'll relieve you of your burden. Right? We'll relieve you of the burden and the miseries of material existence. Please find out how by reading this book and give a donation. It'll also relieve you of the burden of your bad karma. What do you say?
Similar thing,
huh? But shorter, probably.
Well, the other thing is, in the spiritual world, don't necessarily experience distress at all. It's all in ecstasy.
Yes, there's no. Yeah. Was it ecstatic down at the market this morning, Manigula? Or was it suffering?
Yeah,
it was really cold this morning. I bet all the guys down there were enjoying it like anything, right?
Warmer in the fridge.
Warmer in the fridge. Yeah, the fridge keeps going at 5 degrees. And down outside, it must have been pretty close to freezing. Anything else? Okay. Kanjuraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.